ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
Because I have a word for tonight, we're going to cut that flow short. So anything we have in the Holy Ghost, you know, we'll continue tomorrow and then we'll see where the Lord takes us on Sunday. Amen. Turn your Bible, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. From verse 1. So I'm not going to teach this. I'm going to preach this because we have limited time. So I'm going to run. So this is Paul speaking. Shall I my bid? You want to take it home? Okay, good of you. Please give me so I wait. This is Paul speaking. He said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be what? Give me the next verse. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of who? God, but not according to knowledge. You see, Jesus said something. He said, some people will think they are doing me service when they kill you. He said, some people will think they are doing me service when they kill you. And when we read those verses, a lot of us are quick to think that that verse means terrorists alone, religious terrorists alone. But the children of Israel, you know, Paul went to collect a warrant from the high priest so that he can go and kill Jews and Christians in different cities. And Paul did that thinking he was doing God what? Service. Ah, thank you, Jesus. He did that thinking he was doing God service. So, there's something in the air. Please hold your hands. Hold your hands together. I want to pray for both of you. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. I want to pray for both of you. In the name of Jesus. Let every machination of hell against your home be destroyed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Let the plot, the ploy, and the schemes of hell be disappointed over your home. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray for you both. Over your home, Satan has failed. Amen. 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 In the name of Jesus. Amen. Everything that is the plan of the wicked is aborted. Amen. Everything that has been put in motion that is the plan of the wicked is also aborted. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The wisdom and the love of God guards and guides your home. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, say amen for them. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I beg. Time. The reason I said God, I beg is because God, I beg. God, I beg. Ayo, God will, not Ayo in media. Ayo sitting down. God is going to answer your questions. The reason I'm saying that is because as I looked in that direction, I saw a question mark on your forehead. God is going to answer your questions. Questions, I'm going to say it as high level as possible. Questions regarding to the hereafter. I don't mean after death. I mean after, your question is not in the current stage you are. It's what's next after this stage. That's the question. After this stage, what next? And God is going to answer your question. The Lord is going to bring it with clarity. And the Lord says, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Because I'm seeing you thinking, I'm seeing you propose in your heart that I'm going to go on a fast and ask. For that, it's not necessary. That's what I'm telling you. The fast is not necessary. God is going to answer your question, but on the flip side, don't be anxious, because the answer will meet you. No, I'm not praying. The answer will meet you. It will come to you. I'm broadcasting news. No praying. The answer will come to you, and it will come with ease. It will come with ease. Please, if you are not taking notes, don't be on your phone. The answer will come to you, and it will come with ease. To come with ease. I must teach, amen. Let's go to God's word, please. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So this is Paul speaking. He said that I know that the children of Israel, they are zealous for God, but they have no knowledge. What that means is zeal is not enough. In fact, it is dangerous that you can be very zealous and lack knowledge. And what this really means is you can be heading very fast in the wrong direction. So he said, I bear them record. I know they are zealous. You know, one of the most amazing things to me in recent times that I have seen is that there are people who are very high in office and don't know what they should know. I mean, people who have been hanging around the corridors of church for a long time and don't know the gospel. Are they saved? I don't know. Maybe they accidentally believe the gospel. Maybe it's possible. But eternity is not something to gamble upon. And that's exactly why we keep on, you know, talking about the gospel. It's not something to gamble on. You don't say, you know, I will, maybe they will find out eventually. Remember a story of someone who went to his grandma's church, preached the gospel, and then the grandma held him and said, say, with tears in her eyes, said, say what you said again. And he recounted the experience, and he told her, so you are telling me, this woman was in her 80s, I believe. Said, so you are telling me that if I died without really believing this thing you are saying, my eternity was not guaranteed. And you know when somebody pees and you can't say yes or no. And then she said she had been in church for all these years and she hadn't heard this. Many of you, if you share the gospel with people, you hear that all the time. You hear that all the time. Eternity is not something to gamble with. It's not something to gamble with. Are you guys listening to me? It's not something to gamble. So there are many people that may be zealous. And the problem with that is with that zeal, many people will fight even the truth. Because the zeal will be misdirected. Will be misdirected. So there are times when you preach the gospel to people and they will say, that cannot be all there is. There must be more to work for. Because many other things brought people to Jesus, but the gospel. But the gospel. I'm going to run through two things. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us of something important. Jesus tells us something in Luke chapter 18. He says that there were two people that came to pray, the tax collector and the Pharisee. And as both of them came to pray, the Pharisee said, "Lord, thank you because I'm not like this publican. I give my tithe, I give my alms, I do all those other things. I'm not like this man." But the man said, but then the publican, Jesus said he could not even look up. He looked down. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." And then Jesus said, "This tax collector went away more justified than this other man." Than this other man. Why? Because the Bible talks of two things. I wish we had time. I'm going to preach this quick sermon in 14 minutes. The Bible talks about a man. The Bible talks about self-righteousness. Please, are you listening to me? The Bible talks about self-righteousness. And then the Bible talks about a righteousness that comes from Christ. Please pay attention. There is a righteousness that is your own. And then there is a righteousness that comes from God. That righteousness that comes from God, are you here? That righteousness that comes from God is the only righteousness that can satisfy God. Because the only thing that can satisfy God is the same thing that is of his own quality. Jesus tells us that the tax collector came and he couldn't look up, he looked down. Usually when people came to worship, they came with their sacrifice. So the man couldn't look up, he looked at his sacrifice. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, it said, Paul said, "This is the gospel that I received, which I also preach to you, how that Christ, according to scriptures, he died, was buried, and then he rose again according to scripture." The gospel is God's good proclamation to all men. You know, we have been looking at this in Types and Shadows over the last 6 weeks. We've been looking at that in Types and Shadows. But now, what exactly is the message of the gospel? The gospel is not any message that brings men to the front. The gospel is a specific message that when men believe, their eternity is secure. Jesus did not mince words. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the person that does not believe is condemned already. So if you believe the gospel, you are saved. But if you don't believe the gospel, you are condemned already. And this is why we preach it with urgency. And this is why we preach it as important as it is. Because you can't let people somehow figure out the gospel. The gospel is ours to preach. So Paul says to, or rather we see through scriptures one thing, that to the saints we teach the gospel, but to the unbelievers we preach the gospel. Because the saints, we keep on preaching the gospel so that they can be built up. But the unbeliever, we teach the gospel so they can be built up. But to the unbeliever, we preach the gospel so that they can put their faith in Jesus like you would a parachute. When you jump out of a plane and you hang on to a parachute and you know that you will land safely. That is exactly how we put our faith in Jesus. And just as he died, rose never to die again, is the same way we can trust him with our eternal hereafter. Come on, are you with me? It's the same way we can trust him with our eternal hereafter. The Bible, there are two parallel truths of the gospel. One is, in the gospel, there is eternal bliss with the Father. The Bible says, because we have believed, we now have what? Peace with God. Say, "I have peace with God." Because we have believed, we have peace with God. We are now counted as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when they say, "Who is going to heaven?" If you have believed the gospel, you don't say, You don't say, only God knows. May God help us stand to the end. I have believed the gospel. And because I have believed the gospel, my eternity is secure. But then, there's a flip side of the gospel, which is this. Anyone that does not believe is condemned already. And I like to put it this way. I heard a man of God say something. He said, you know, hell is not the absence of God. It's God present in his full wrath. It's not the absence of God. It's God present in his full wrath. This God, because God is a just judge, this God you reject, you must answer to. If you reject him as Savior, you will meet him as judge. And you know, and that's exactly why I keep on thinking about things. Listen, the fear of hell is not the power of God unto salvation. Are you listening to me? The fear of hell is not the power of God unto salvation. But if people come to Jesus because they are afraid of hell, it's okay. Because hell is terrible. Cast into outer darkness when there will be gnashing of teeth. So, if you come because, if you run in here, not because I invited you, but because there was a zombie apocalypse outside, it's also okay. Because you want to be safe. Now, the fear of hell is not the gospel. The gospel is that you don't have to go there. But the truth of the matter is there is a hell. And I've said that many times. Many people say, how do you know hell is real? It's a fairy tale. Tell me that when you've died, been buried, risen, never to die again. When you tell me that, I will believe your own story. So the two parallel truths, there's eternal bliss with the Father, and then there's eternal condemnation from the Father. Paul speaks in 2 Thessalonians, he said, destruction will come from the presence of the Lord. So, I'm going to wrap up by this because we're already out of time. I wrap up by what I call three components of the gospel. Three components of the gospel. In the gospel, we see three clear things. Number one thing we see is the utter helplessness of man. Remember what I said? I said that there were metaphors to use to describe in the afternoon session. There were metaphors used to describe the sinner. Some of the metaphors were lost, dead, and blind. All these metaphors dictate that the man cannot help himself. You see, every time we think that we can stand our own against God's judgment is because we don't know the righteous standard of this God. Every time you kept on saying, Father, forgive me. And then you say, Father, forgive me again. And it's because you had an idea that even on your best day, you didn't reach. You didn't reach up to the standard. He said, our righteousness is like a filthy rag. It means that on our best day, we don't even cut it. Come on, TC, are you listening to me? Yes, on our best day, we don't cut it. Our righteousness is like a filthy rag before him. Man could not help himself. Man could not help himself. So I'm looking at all I could have done wrong, and I did it all. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is God's righteous standard. You have fallen short of it. All men have fallen short of that righteous standard. Because of the fall, there is an innate propensity in man to do evil. And of course, if there's that innate propensity, you will do it eventually. And that's why I like to say, not all men have a money problem. Not all men have a health problem. But all men have a sin problem, and all men need a savior. And that's why the same message must be preached to the poor, the rich, the healthy, the sick. Because it is a common problem. Jesus did not come to die for a cadre of people or people that were lacking in a particular aspect. He came to die for all men. Jesus can use a healing to woo a man But rest assured that that healing cannot save that man. Have you seen, in fact, this happens all the time. Most times, 8 out of 10 crusade testimonies I usually see is Muslims. Or the striking ones is Muslims. And they'll say, God is here, but I'm still an Elijah. Why are you guys looking at me like it's not true? True or not? He said, God, he healed me, he healed me. However, I'm still a Muslim. They will donate generously. Generously. Father, where are they now? Anyways, they will donate generously, but they will not convert. That tells us that my God can do mighty things. It's not the gospel. The gospel, those things are just signs. And remember, and I said that they are called signs because they point to things that are bigger than themselves. And that's why we cannot make the sign. We cannot make the signboard the destination. We cannot stop when it is pointing us to something better. There's the utter helplessness of man, not uttermost. Utter helplessness of man. Man couldn't help himself. Number two thing we see as another element of the gospel is the sovereign intervention of God. Listen, if God decided to save only 3 people, nobody can question him. Are you aware? If he decided that his death will only cover 4 people, nobody could have questioned him. But what did he do for us? He died. 1 John 2 tells us that he's the propitiation for the sin of all men. All men. He died for the sin of all men. Consistently, you keep on saying that Jesus' death is for all. For the sin of the world. All men. All. Those that are born, those that were born before he came into the earth. So all the sins before he came, past, present, in the future, he had paid for it. He had paid for it. And all men needed to do was what? Believe. Was believe. But the good thing is God did not die for the... If he had paid for the sins of 3, it would have been great. But the good thing is he didn't do that. He said, anyone that believes in me will be saved. Anyone that puts their faith will be saved. So, man did not provoke God to intervene. God sovereignly said, I am going to intervene. Man cannot help himself. Even the man that does not know, or the man that acts like he does not care, knows that he's under the burden of sin. And then we see this is why This is why the Bible clearly teaches how does a man get saved? By believing, right? A man gets saved by believing. So when a man believes, the man is what? Saved. When a man believes, that man is what? Saved. So you say, I receive it, I believe it, and I'm saved. But you have to believe the message. Now, all the things we have been looking at in types and shadows, they were leading here. I believe it, I receive it, and I'm saved. And it's not just any message, it is the message. So, I've heard many things where, even things like, when does a man get saved? How does a man get saved? I hope we know that a man does not get saved by saying, I'm a sinner, I make a U-turn. Because there are people who know that they've done wrong and feel bad and repent, but they are not saved. A prayer doesn't save a man. And those things may be good, right? Not talking down on them. Those things may be good, but what saves a man is believing. Because you believe with your heart, and what you have believed. Now, it's not like, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth. It's not repeating a confession. You believe with your heart, and because you believe with your heart, you then confess. And I get worried many times when I see some videos of people leading people to the Lord He stays me with evangelism and glory to God, but I get worried sometimes because we may be having false conversions. People that are responding to something that is not the gospel. So, Adeshola's church in London now. At the stage, they were all showing wristwatch. Sparking things up. Are you getting it now? They're sparking things up. Shola's spiritual father. So, Shola was, you know, and then I read stuff. He said, we do that to attract people. And I assure you, listen, the greatest enemy of Christianity is not Islam. It's secularism. So, let me give you an instance. Why should I go there? So, it's secularism. So, we are in the gathering of the saints, but we said, let's just use the techniques of the world so that we can reach them just for evangelism purposes. And then, I was talking to David the other day. I said, if anybody who knows me knows, I have days where I just play fast praise songs and I jam. So I have no problem with it. But the problem is this. So when you play a secular chord, do you think we are worshiping? Because, and then we have a hype man. Jesus is on our side. So, when we do things like that, when we do things like that, who receives honor? We are just happy. We're excited. How was church? Fire. And then we are showing dance steps. You know, and the problem is that dance is not unto God. It's unto us. It's our steps. And in all of that, we won't preach God's word to people. We'll preach, you are making it this year. You will get there tomorrow. You will represent God in the finance world, somebody that does not know the foundations of Bible study. I remember watching, there's a joke I will say, in-house. I remember watching somebody did a YouTube video with somebody else and said, she's a born-again child of God. I went to her Instagram. I said this one. Against you mean? I said this one. This one. It has to be a curious case of Abraham Button. I went to the DM. I said, this must be a skit. And then he said, Bible correlation. He said, Samuel. And then he said, I don't think I've ever read the story. She has been in church for many years. I said, no, now. I said, stop it. Born again, maybe it's yes. Stop. She quickly came into the kingdom. Stop. I say stop. And we keep on doing all this. I'm angry this night. We keep on doing all these ridiculous things and wonder why we're not having the effect we should have. Because we cannot challenge a spiritual climate we are blending into. People are coming into church that cannot pray. That cannot pray. If you don't pray, the flesh will be hot. Hey. We'll be mentioning Jesus, But they'll be doing groom. Get ready with me. See, Jesus said, if you don't pray, you will faint. Men ought always to pray. And if you don't pray, you will pass out. It's a fact, it's a law. You will faint. So, we think in secular, we are doing secularism and we are growing. Now, secularism is not getting the light. That has nothing to do with that. I mean, it's just being excellent. But if we now do all those things and then we are growing, and then we say we want to reach the people, then when the people now come, we now do church on their terms. So, have we not read that if we are servants of men, we cannot be said to be servants of God? I remember one time in service, we had quite a number of first-timers in church. And then there was going to be a flow of the Spirit. The Lord had told me that some days prior. And in my head, I said, God, how we do flow of the Spirit now? We have a lot of first-timers. Won't it be weird to them? In my head, it now clicked. People you are not sure will come next week. So since that day, over to you. If you guys notice, when we have the most first-timers, that's when I preach a hot word. And then the sermon will go long and we'll pray. And I see them doing like this. I say, you never see anything. I want to preach it hot so that you will, from your first 15 minutes, you know you're not coming next week. And then when you know you're not coming, you know that somebody told you the truth. Yes. Amen. Amen. Sovereign intervention of God. There's the sovereign. God had designed that we're going to, he was going to die for the sin of all of mankind. And all you had to do was believe. And number three is this. Because we see what he has done for us, because we see the death he died for us on the cross, we henceforth not live unto ourselves, but live for him who did what? Who died and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5, we don't live unto ourselves. We live for him who did what? 2 Corinthians 5:21, I believe. We live for him who died and rose again. We'll go back. Let me see verse 20. Let me see verse 19. Okay, yes. Go back to 15. Good. He said, and that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them. And rose. Because Jesus died for us, are you listening to me? Because Jesus died for us and rose from the dead, we don't live for ourselves. We live for him who died and rose again. So we've seen that man could not help himself because man had fallen. Then God intervened and told man, and died for all of mankind. And then finally, number 3 point is we now see the obvious consecration of the man in Christ. Because of the price that he has paid, I will live for him. Because the price that he paid is the price no one else could pay. Scarcely will one die for a righteous man. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died. His death is what no man could do. Therefore, I will live the entirety of my life for him. My money, my speech, my friends, all I am and all I have will be defined by him. So he's not just my light. I don't just see because of him, but I see all other things through him. I see all other things through him. He said, leave Bible aside. I can't. Christianity is not just my religion and my tagline, it's my worldview. It is how I interpret every other thing. It's how I interpret every other thing. So, what is the gospel? Simple. It is the message of Christ's death. His burial is ready. The Paul told us he died for our sin and rose for our justification. So in his death, my death was buried. then in his resurrection I am justified. Now, because he's alive, I will live for him. And I then live, you see, it sounds like semantics, but it's not. When we say, I gave my life to Christ, the Bible says you were dead in sin. You couldn't have given that life. So what you did was you received the life of Christ. And then, like the Macedonian church, in service, you then give of yourself. So you then give your life back to him in service. So I received the life of Christ. And then in service, I give it back in service. Such that even if I have to lay down this life, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life I have, he gave me in the first place. Therefore, I will live for him. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. I dare say this. Nothing douses the power of God amongst us like secularism. Because we don't have the right message. We don't have the right word. If we're streaming, so there are things I will say if we're just alone. Praise God. I really believe that some songs are good, but not for church. I believe some songs are great, but not for church. Personal opinion. If we're hanging out, we can jam it. In fact, we'll show our steppings. Because we need good, clean songs. Maybe even good Christian songs that are for steps. Are you getting me? But they are not exactly for our corporate gathering as worship. It's my opinion. It's not the word of God. So take it or leave it. That's okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the gospel we have is what we preach. We preach nothing else. We don't concoct a new message. We preach the gospel alone. We don't concoct a new message. We preach the gospel alone. Because he died for us, we live for him. And that's why if you don't realize number one, you will not see the need for number two. And then if you don't see how much of a gift number two is, you will not flow with number three. A believer that says, I believe I'm saved, but we can't see obvious consecration in your life. We are on moral grounds. We on moral grounds should be able to doubt whether you are saved or not. It's not Jesus, baby, alone. How are you living? Please, are you listening to me? Just lift your hands and give God thanks. Father, thank you for the gospel. We couldn't help ourselves, but you died for us. You rose again. Thank you, Jesus. We couldn't help ourselves, but you died for us. And if you're here, maybe you haven't put your faith in Jesus for the gospel. Just say, Lord, I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. And I live for you. I receive that. That's all. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. LCB Hardware Ministries is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/LCB Hardware. And for contact details, follow on Instagram @LCB Hardware. God bless you.